Again, we thank our God for his blessing. And Brother Smith, I believe it is, for leading us in these hymns. And for the congregation here respecting the way that the Lord would have us to do things. To sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And certainly it can be done. And it must be done that way in order to please the Lord. I must say that I am most happy to see this good number present here tonight. And we hope that we can have your presence as much as you possibly can spare during this week. We'll be here trying to preach the gospel of Christ. And I'm sure that we might differ. We might differ in some points. But I will allow you to quiz me about the things in which we differ. While I'm preaching, if you want to stop me and say, slow down, preacher, you're talking too fast, I didn't understand it, I want you to explain this or that, I asked a question, I'll do that. Now, it may not, the answer, if it's a Bible question, may not make you happy, but if that's the way God put it, then that's the way it put it. Sometimes they say, well, I would stop you, but it'll make me lose a train of thought. Well, don't worry about that. I've never had a train of thought. I want you to know that you're welcome to do that. And if you stop me, and if I don't think about it anymore, sometime between now and the meeting is over, I'll think of it again. If Brother Walton might be something to preach to call it to my attention. Those of guests from other congregations, and particularly those of you that do not share with us, in our religious conviction, we trust that you will find yourself most pleasant here tonight and being edified by the word of God. And it may be that we bring some things to your attention that you hadn't thought of or that you hadn't given any real consideration. I don't know that when people go to the Church of Christ, their first outing always is impressive to them, or at least they notice a difference between the Church of Christ and that of the churches of men. If they don't miss nothing but the piano, they'll miss that. They see that is something that is unique about the kingdom of Christ. And certainly we usually can start from there and point out the reason why that we are members of the Church of Christ, and we believe in those New Testament principles by which Christ shed his blood for. We enjoyed ourselves today in the home of Brother Blackaby. And his wife, she's a fine cook and had a lot of good food out there. And Sister Willis was out there with her children. And we enjoyed ourselves. And of course, we are looking forward to some more that good eating while we are here. Good evening. We're going to our subject tonight, and now we're going to talk about one thing. One thing. You know, I'm a minister who believes that if the truth can be told, and if I'm going to be able to tell it, I got to keep it down just to a low account as I possibly can. And I know then if I hit those that's on my level, I don't have no problem with them that's above. I think we got too many preachers today. Instead of preaching from down upwards, they're preaching from upward downward. It doesn't work very well that way. And so then we want to talk about one thing. In the book of Psalms, 27th chapter and verse 4, David said, one thing I desire, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and inquire, and see behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his tabernacle. In the first four verses there, David was talking about the great things of life that he had experienced as a warrior. There were a lot of great gains that came David's way as a youngster. He was able that when a bear allowed, and a bear attacked the flock of his father, Jethro, that he was, his father. And when they attacked the flock, that he was able by his hand to kill the lion and the bear. Father named Jesse. And David, out of all of that, he still said,
life. And that's what I seek after. One of the thoughts in his combined senses was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. You know, I wish that every Christian here tonight could make that kind of decision. To say, I'm going to stay with the Lord, that I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Come what may, I'm going to stay there, because that's where salvation is, ladies and gentlemen. If you brethren don't mind, if y'all can stand there, I see this sister here standing. That's a tip to help me out. It's too hot in here. If you can tell her what I have here, I appreciate it. Now then, David said to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That would be something. And my friends, whenever that is accomplished, we will have known that we have reached the mark of the calling, of the high calling, of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Now then, in that, some people say, well, now, Brother Nash, we are almost like you all are. We almost teach the same thing that you all teach. We almost believe the same thing that you believe. But I want you to know that it doesn't take but one thing to make a difference. And that difference can be the difference between one being saved and one being lost. It's not how much one is wrong. It's the fact as to whether or not they have carried out things like God would have it to do. So I think that when we see a few of these illustrations and examples that we are going to try to give here tonight, that you'll be able to understand that it doesn't take but one thing to be wrong. It doesn't take but one thing for you to miss the mark. And if you miss it in this life, when you stand before God in the judgment and reckoning day, there will be no opportunity to make a change. I was talking to some people here a while back, and they were telling me there would be a second chance. When all the world, as we know it now, and this system is wiped out, they say at the judgment that everybody will have a second chance. Well, I'll tell you one thing about it. If it wasn't for the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, and the plea of the rich man, I might could buy what you say. But if he couldn't get no comfort, if he couldn't get by on the last chance, you're not going to talk me into it. I know better than that. So then, one thing can make the difference. I think a lot of you have recognized the fact that often, sometimes we go to the store and we make a purchase, and sometimes $1 or $1, and sometimes tying down to 1 cent make the difference as to whether we are able to make our purchase or not. So in religion, it is important to know that it doesn't take but one thing for one to be wrong. In the book of John, the 14th chapter, and verse 6, when Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said that no man can come to the Father but by me. I want you to know that one name, ladies and gentlemen, stands between us and God. And that one thing will make the difference. Why are you saying that, Brother Nash? Some of you say, all of us, therefore mostly, believe, with the exception of a few Muslim and things, that Jesus therefore stands between us and God. But I'll tell you, my friend, mankind say that, and a lot of times they talk about it. But when it comes down to reality, they always have a headquarters and some kind of presiding elders or bishops and whatever to preside over them. I want you to know that one thing can and will make the difference. And so then, one thing that David, out of all of the things that he enjoyed in life, it was still one thing that he wanted to do. And so I'd say then that it doesn't take a whole lot of differences, a whole lot of things to be wrong. Be between us for us to be wrong. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and verse 10, Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we all speak the same thing, that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same journey. Now let's begin to talk about a few little things here, and then we'll come back to and bring some more Bible examples. Well, let's say, somebody said, well, look here. I think that sprinkling water on a child, therefore, is sufficient. Or spending on an adult is sufficient for baptism. And then another one saying, no, you have to bear him in baptism in order for it to be scripture. Well, you see, that's a division there. When one says you don't have to be baptized in water to be saved, and another one saying that you have to be baptized in water to be saved, then what have you got? You have a divided couple. Now, one or both of these got to be wrong. Now, both sometimes can be wrong, but I'll tell you, my friend, when you divide it, both of you cannot be right. There's something wrong somewhere. So then, we have to go to the Bible to figure out who is right and who was wrong about whether one ought to be sprinkled or baptized. What is that, Brother Nash? I know they both using water. The one that sprinkled used water, and the one that immersed used water. So what's your argument? I've heard him say, well, a drop is just as good as an ocean. Well, I'll tell you one thing about it. I'd like to get in your bank account if you got one and you feel that way. If you think $500,000 is just, there's no difference between $500,000 is a dime, I'd love to get a hold of you for one day. But I want to point out to you that this one thing that here is a difference. Now, Paul said in the book of Romans, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, he said, now, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How that we are dead to sin, we shouldn't live any longer therein. For I know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. He said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death. Now the Bible says that we ought to be buried with Christ. Yes, my brother, we're most of that. That won't get it, brother. You see, you got to be able to realize that in baptism, it requires a battle. That one has to be overwhelmed in water. You said, well, brother, now, did he say water? Yes, I believe that Peter said in Acts 10 and verse 1 and 7, who can forbid what? That these should be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as me. So when you baptize somebody, you got to baptize them in water, and my friend, to sprinkle water or pour water on their head will not get the job done. Well, you said, but one more thing about this. One said, well, we baptize ourselves, but we believe that you're already saved before you baptize. Now, I want you to see this one now. Now, Jesus said in Mark the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth, number one, and is baptized, number two, shall be saved, number three. Now then, here come along another doctrine. They teach that you have to believe. He that believeth, number one, and already saved, number two, I'll just put an S here. And already saved, number two, and shall be baptized after he's already saved, number three. I'm going to put a little number two here of that. Now, something wrong. They're already here. It's just brushed around. And that's what caused the trouble. Somebody said, I know I'm already saved before I was baptized. Because your pastor said you were saved. Your manual said that you were saved. And you believe that you're already saved. And Christ said, he that believeth that he is baptized shall be saved. Let me read this one more time. He that believeth, number one, number two, brother, and number three. Number one, number two, and number three. You say, well, Brother Nash, you got it exactly. We got exactly the same numbers. But watch this now. When you verse a thing, if you take it out of this order, it will not work. You say, why? Because that one thing will make the difference. If we have a phone number, we say our phone number was 700-104. All right. Now, just say for this, that was my phone number. And I gave it to you and you call it. Then every time you call, probably it would ring. You take those same numbers. 700-104-00. Now, we got the same kind of numbers up there. But you see, a change has been made. And you got 1-4 over here, what I'm trying to get you to see, that it doesn't have to be but one difference from what God say, just like it doesn't have to be but one difference from what man say. If their telephone or AT&T then can fix it, and if where you cannot dial somebody else's number and not number one. You say, Well, Brother Nash, supposing you're sincere, have you ever been in somebody's town and really wanted to call them and you didn't have a number? And you stand up by the telephone, just stand up there by the telephone, and you say, telephone, I'm sincere. The telephone, I'm going to call my friend while I'm here. To that telephone, say, well, okay, just dial me. Do you just go there and dial any number? I'm trying to get you to see that if you hit one number. Let me ask you this. Have you ever dialed a phone, and when the phone rang and the party answered on the other end, have you ever heard him say the wrong number? You got the wrong number? You know why? You dialed something wrong. I dialed something wrong. It doesn't take no one. I come down. I don't know what I dialed wrong, but I didn't get who I was looking for. So then, have to do it all over again. A lot of times you dial up for the Lord, and you made one mistake. You're going to have to do it all over again in on the J Street. So in the book of Matthew, I believe it, we find in the 18th chapter, the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, and in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, we find over there that our Lord had healed, therefore, brother, laid his hands upon some little children. And there was a man there in Luke 18:18, I believe it was. And this man said unto him, good master, tell me some good thing that I might do, therefore to inherit eternal life. And you know one thing, the Lord said, why call ye me good? There is none good but one. I want you to see this. He said, there is none good but one. And so then he was talking about God. He said, that is God. He said, but if God would be perfect, he said, now, I'll keep the commandments. And he told him, adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Therefore, he went on to say, all of these have I kept from my youth up. And you know one thing Jesus said? One of them lacketh thou. Isn't that right? This man here claimed that he had kept the Ten Commandments all the time from his very youth up. But Jesus said he's still lacking one thing. I know a long time people would tell me, said, Brother Nash, I believe I'm going to be saved because I'm just keeping the Ten Commandments. And since I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, I think I'm going to be all right. But here was a man here said, all of these things I have done for my youth up. And Christ said, he said, yet lacketh thou one thing. Would you read verse 20 for me there, Brother Weldon, and let us see what the Bible is saying on it. All right, come on.
Thou knowest the commandments.
Thou knowest the commandments. Christ said, you know what the commandments are. All right, come on.
Do not commit adultery.
Do not commit adultery.
Do not kill.
He knew that. Do not kill.
Do not steal.
Do not steal.
Do not bear false
witness. Do not bear false witness.
Honor thy mother
and thy father. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is beautiful, isn't it? This man said, I've already fulfilled that. And you know, it looked like he was having about nothing wrong with the question he had, because he wanted to know, what lack I yet? If you search yourself right now, could you think of what lack I yet? Is there anything in your life that you ought to get straight before death? This man said, what lack I yet? Isn't that right? And Christ told him. All right, now read a little bit more. Watch where we're fried out here.
And he said, all these
I have kept from my youth up. All of my more knowledgeable life. He said, I have kept it. I've kept it from my youth up. All right, go ahead.
Now when Jesus heard these things.
When Jesus heard these things.
He said unto him. Yet lackest thou
one
thing.
Lackest. The ten things.
No.
What did he say?
One thing.
You see, it wasn't a whole lot of things that were wrong. It wasn't but one thing wrong. And the one thing stood between that man and salvation. Matthew records tell us that when the young man heard this command from Christ, that he went away sorrowful because he had much riches. What else did he say here? Therefore, he said, yet lacketh thou what? One thing. All right, go ahead.
Sell all that thou hast.
Sell all that thou hast.
And distribute unto the poor.
And distribute unto the poor.
Thou shalt have treasures.
And thou shalt have treasures in heaven.
And come follow me.
He did me too much, isn't that right? Lord, I love you a whole lot, and you know a whole lot of us like that. A whole lot of us, we can follow Jesus till we get out of the pocketbook time, too. I tell you that man, he did, but his spirit is still around, a whole lot of us. That's right. I'm having to tell him. He said, Brother Ash, you were preaching a good sermon today, and you got to talk about giving, and you just killed the spirit. That just killed the spirit. I understand the most delicate nerve, they tell me, that's in the human body, the one run from the pocketbook to the mind. But that's, he here, he said, I've done all of it. I've kept all to thee. I've done all of that, and yet the Lord said, yet lackest thou one thing. You know, said I, church, is almost like the church of God. That will not get, that one thing will keep you from being saved. Christ does not have but one church. He has not established but one church. And Christ stands between God and man. I know sometimes you hear people talking about, I'm going to heaven anyhow. Or anyhow, my Lord, anyhow. And I'm going up to heaven. I don't care now how much you pay. You're going to have to recognize and understand that Christ stands between us and God. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible tells us that there is one God and one man between us and God. The man Christ Jesus. I tell you, my friend, there's no man today that can have access to the Father unless they take Jesus Christ under consideration. You say, well, Brother Nash, I'll turn to a priest. No, that won't get it if you turn to your priest. You say, well, I'll turn to a preacher. That won't get it if you turn to your preacher. You say, well, I'll turn now forth to my presiding elder. That won't get it either. I tell you that everybody is going to have to learn that we're going to have to come to the judgment seat of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to have to learn that it's one thing between us and God. We're going to have to learn that we can't circumvent Christ and at the same time have salvation. I know that somebody got in their mind. Said, well, I'll tell you one thing about it. I'll just duck around them and I'll just circumvent him and therefore I'll make it in there. You know, this is what happened a lot of time with children. When they go to their father, if their father is a real good father, and they'll go to him and ask him about doing something. He said, no, you can't do that. I don't want you to do that. You can't go. And so, well, what they'll do, they will circumvent him and go around and say, ask the mother. Say, Mother, can we go to the movie this afternoon? Can we go? And she said, what did your daddy say? So, well, Mama, you know, they just keep quiet, right? Mama. And they just keep on, well, boy, I know your daddy's going to kill me, but I'm going to let you go. And they let him, well, you see, that's circumventing. They get around their daddy. And I can remember when my father used to tighten up on us real tight. And we'd go to mother and ask her to let us go. And she said, no. Oh, she said, I'll tell you what, then, if you just keep on making, go ask your dad. And we go out there and ask him, when we get around there, we said, Papa? And he said, well, Mama said we could go over there, so and so. Say, they said, call your mother. Say, tell your mother to come here. We said, that's all right. You let it go right there, because see, next thing we're going to be switch time. That thing didn't turn out just right. You see, if there's anything that mankind want to do, they want to get around. They want to avoid. They want to get around what the Lord said. They won't help them, but they want it on their terms. I think the average person, whether they ever confess it or not, had rather go to a better place than what we have down here when we die. I think the average person would rather want to be in close with God Almighty and with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think the average person would rather fulfill what Christ said in the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew, when he said, they shall come from the north, from the south, and from the east and the west, and set down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I think all of us would love that. But somebody's always trying to figure a way to get around. That's the reason why I'm glad some of these preachers wasn't around in the time that the children of Israel down at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was pressing behind them. Some of these preachers would have got them drowned just to show them. They'd have got them drowned. They'd been saying, well, now look here, you don't have to cross there. I know another little crossing up here. A whole army is floating up there. They'd have got you killed. God opened one way up there in that land, and all of the Israelites had to go through that one path. And where'd they go? God didn't open a little ditch down here and open another little trench up here and up yonder somewhere. All of them had to go through it the same place. And I'll tell you one thing about it. When we are saved, it's going to be that way. One thing. It doesn't take but one thing to make the difference between the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the churches of men and the commandments and doctrine of men. Doesn't take but one thing to do it. So the rich man said, all of these I've kept from my youth up. What lack I get? In the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, and by about verse, well, I don't know what it is, 38 there, so Martha and Mary. Jesus had got through teaching about the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan. And the Samaritan, as he entered that, he entered into another village. And when he got into that village, Martha, he went there into Martha's home, and she was preparing food for him. And Mary sat at the master's feet and hearing his words. And she came in there complaining. She came in there, Lord, did thy cares not that thy sister, didn't help me serve and prepare this food? She worried about that thing. And Christ said, he said, Martha, you're coming to survive with a whole lot of things. You got a lot of problems. He said that Mary had received the good part because she was hearing his word. And you know one thing? He told her that Mary received that good part, that one thing that could not be taken away from her. And that was the word of God. We'd like to have the last three verses there, if you will, brother. Watch what it says.
Luke 10:38.
Uh-huh, that'll be all right.
Now it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
As they went. That he entered into a certain.
They entered into a certain little bitch. All right,
a certain woman named
Martha. And a certain woman named Martha.
Received him in the house.
All right, go ahead.
And a sister called
Mary. And a sister. All right, go ahead.
Which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Uh-huh.
But Martha was coming.
She
about
sat at Christ's feet and heard his word. The word of God is what a man needs to hear. A lot of times people are talking about how they feel and how uplifted they are, and yet without the word of God. I tell you, it takes the word of the Lord to get the job done. If you don't have the word of the Lord, you're in a bad shape, and I am too. This woman heard the word of the Lord. All right, what else did she say?
But Martha was cumbered about.
Much service. You know, there's a lot of women. There's nothing wrong with cooking, you know. I don't wanna overemphasize this thing else, we ain't gonna cook no more longer, doesn't it? But I'm saying, pick your time to do it, isn't that right? Don't let it interfere with the word of God. Don't let it keep you from coming to service, you know. I know sometimes women they're gonna have a preacher over and they won't have no one. They won't go to service that Sunday morning because they won't go stay home and cook. Don't ever let no preacher make you stay home and cook. He got time to wait after he gets through preaching. Might make a sermon eating short. To eat after he gets through preaching. If he doesn't have that much time, let him go and buy him a hamburger. Isn't that right? And don't let him keep him doing that. All right, now watch. She was worried about a lot of things. All right, now watch this.
All right, but Martha was covered about much serving.
Much serving, all right.
Came to him and said,
Lord,
dost thou not care?
Dost thou not care?
That my sister hath left me.
My sister hath left me.
To serve alone.
How come you don't make her come on out here and help me? You know, that reminds your children. You know, when it comes eating time, my sons, always remember to make sure that they got their share. But when it comes wiping time and dishwashing time, there's a different story, isn't that right? They won't know who washed the last and all that kind of stuff. They figure them out. I'd been glad to get back when I was a kid with what little work my boys had to do now. All right, what else did he say?
Bid her therefore that she help me.
That she help me. Make a bid her to help me. All right, go ahead.
Jesus answered and said,
Martha.
Thou art careful and troubled about many things.
You've got a lot of problems. All right, go ahead.
But one thing.
That's what we got. But one thing.
Is needful.
Is needful.
And Mary hath chosen. That good part.
That good part.
Which shall not be taken away from her.
Whenever we receive the word of God, rather than our feeling, we have received the good part. A lot of times when you're talking to people about salvation, they'll leave the word of God and say, well, I feel all right in my heart. And I know that I'm all right with God because I know that I feel it right here. Well, if you feel God right here, you feel him at the wrong place. I know a lot of times because our heart beats a little bit faster when something disturbs. It doesn't have to be a song. It doesn't have to be therefore a sermon. I'll tell you what you do. You can walk along. I can't either one of us. Doesn't matter. Anyone. And most of us, for the most part, if we walk right up on a rattlesnake and say you're about to let your foot down on him when you hear him rattle, and you jump back, and your heart is beating, Is that salvation? Does that mean you're about to be saved or about to be killed? Now, you tell. You know, a lot of people think because this end up here, this old kingdom, because it's beat up, that's salvation. Well, that's just something that goes on when the brain gets the message through the eyes or the ears, whatever way it gets to the brain. You know, everything got to go through the brain before it's in action. And so the eyes see that snake down there, rattlesnake down there, and it's sending the message up to the brain, and the brain says, okay, feet, get going, I see snake. And blood pressure all the time come up. That's what happened there. And you think you got some kind of religion because of that. The heart that the Bible talks about is up here. And that one thing makes the difference. You got to understand that Mary had the rest part. She had that one thing that could not be taken away from her. And while Mama was worried about all of these material things. And I know got too many people today, both in the church of our Lord and out in material things, worried about that too much. And I'll tell you another thing. You say, brother, the biggest thing between us and the Church of Christ is a name. And you say, well, the name doesn't matter. Well, that's one thing. You, that just that one difference right there can matter. Just the name. Now, it doesn't take you to say, we're just alive. But the name, all the trouble is, we call ourselves so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, you see, members of the Church of Christ, the Christians, and you say that you, just say you want to say you're a Jehovah's Witness. Now, they say what they want to be. You say you're a Jehovah's Witness. All right, now. One came by my house the other day, and he said to me, and we talked, making it short. He said, well, above all these other religious people, he said, what do you think of Jehovah's Witnesses? He said, tell me what you think of them. I said, well, I can't tell you that because I've never seen one. If I ever see one, I'll tell you. He looked at me and said, no, I've never seen a Jehovah's Witness. I see some people who call themselves Jehovah's Witness, but I have never saw or seen a witness to Jehovah. So just say for this, they call themselves witnesses. And they go to Isaiah 43:10, and that thing knocked him out of Celtic. And just like it knocked them out of character by their name, it knocked everybody else out of character without the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, in Philippians chapter 2:10, that when Christ, God sent Christ down here, the Bible teaches us over there that he made of himself no reputation, but he took up on himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of things in the earth and things under it, that Jesus is Lord. I want you to know, my friend, do you wear the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, do you have it from the Brother Warner? Watch what he says here. If you just take your time. I'll go to another one while you get there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible reads, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands assured, having this seal, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I want to know, when you call somebody a Methodist, does that mean Christian? I don't think it does. If you call somebody a Baptist, I want you to tell me, does that carry Christ's name? I don't think it does. So Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19, listen at it one more time. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands assured, having this seal, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Who though that wear the name of Christ? And now, friend, I want you to know that this is where the word Christian came from. It derived from the name of Christ. And if you wear some other name, that one thing is going to keep you out of heaven. All right, in Philippians 2 and verse 9. Now watch what he says here.
Wherefore? God also.
God also.
Hath highly exalted.
Have highly. exalted him.
And given him
a name. Given him a name.
Which is above
every name. Which is above every name. And that go for your grandfather. Go for my grandfather. Go for your bishop. Go for your so-called reverend. Go for your ABC fellas. Doctor this and doctor that. It go for them too. I want you to know that no one on this earth, my friend, that have ever been here, or anyone that will ever come, have the name by which children of God can be saints, sent into heaven. He said there, at the name of Jesus. What else did he say? He said that God, not for his names, but that God has highly exalted him. What else did he do here?
That is the name of Jesus.
That what?
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. What?
Every knee should
Every knee shall bow. What shall our knees bow? Our knees will bow at the name of Jesus. Everything. There'll be no amputated knees there. You watch this now. Every knee should bow. And what else?
Of
things in the earth.
And things in heaven.
Things in heaven.
And things under the earth.
Things on the earth. Go on.
And that every tongue.
That every tongue.
Should confess. That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is Lord.
In Lord.
To the glory.
To the glory and honor. Who?
The Father.
The Father. God is glorified. Whatever we therefore glorify Son by putting on his name. And we walk around here with a name that is not in the Bible. Too many are. That is not in the Bible. And talk about you going to heaven. You're going to have the right thing in order to make heaven your home. And that one thing will keep you out of heaven. And I know that Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:36, when he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the same Jesus whom you crucified, him have God raised up and made him both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, men and brothers, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive a gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is to you and to your children, to all, that the fall to many, and the Lord your God shall call. And with many other signs, truly did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this underworld generation. And they that gladly received the word were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. All had the same name. All went through the same thing. All of them therefore became children of God. God added all of these to the church. He adds, therefore, 2, and the verse is 47. The Bible says, having favor with all the people, and God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. It's no journey, my friend. It's a matter of being an addition, being born again. Not of a corruptible seed, but by an incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. That one thing will keep you out of heaven. That one thing would have kept me out. I hated you of my hope. Well, loved it. Long tradition there. Long family tradition there. But when I found out that the word of God was going to be the thing that stood forever and not my family tradition, I had to give that thing up. And I'm grateful to God today that I did. Number one, that I might save my souls and save the souls of them that hear me. So then, my friend, one thing. It doesn't have to be a lot of things, but it can be one thing. And that is the preaching of the gospel. It has to be preached. You know one thing, when people fail to preach the gospel of Christ, they've called men souls to be lost. The Bible simply teaches us that sinners have to come to repentance and that they have to confess Christ. That they have to be baptized for the remission of their sin. And you know one thing? There are preachers who say, you don't have to do all of this. This is what Brother Nash, some people say, well, it's not necessary to teach anybody to hear the gospel when you preach. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It may not be necessary, but if they say, I don't want to hear what you think is necessary. Isn't that right? You have heard me here tonight. hope that faith of the Lamb of God has taken effect upon you, and that you will lead to the saving of the soul. In Hebrews 11 and 6, the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is one of them that diligently seek him. You've got to have faith, and then you've got to come to repentance. Now this word repentance here simply means to turn, not 360, but half of that. If you turn plumb around, you'll be doing just the same thing you were doing. We got 2 minutes, turn it plumb around. You turn halfway around and stop doing. If you and your wife been whipping on each other, stop. If you're chasing around, stop. Don't slow down, stop. If you've been stealing, stop. That's good genuine repentance. Just quit doing those things that's not right in the sight of God. Because Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, he said, I tell you, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then after you repent of your sin, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, saying that I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want you to listen to me now. I want you to hear me good. I want you to think within yourself now that this one thing will make the difference. When you went forward, if you've ever gone and accepted anything religiously, did you go up there and confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, or did you go up there and give what you call a Christian experience or tell a testimony? I've heard him go up and said, I told one myself one time, I tell you about it for a week ago, that I heard him go up talking about, I walked through hell on a spider web. Now, what you want to be over a place like that on a spider web? Hell found on my train. I heard all that. I heard him talk about, he took my feet up out of the marred clay and placed them on the solid rocks of ages. All these kind of testimonies, but nobody says that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whosoever confessed me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. You're going to have to confess Christ one of these days, you hear me? Whether you do it now and get credit for it or not, I don't know. But everybody's going to have to, you're going to have to talk, you're going to have to do that one of these days. You know, then my friend, in Acts 8 chapter, the eunuch when he had been preached to by Philip, when it came to certain water, he said, see here in water, what is hindering me from being baptized? He said, if I believe with all of thy heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, thou mayest. He said, I believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. He went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why did he baptize him? Because Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16, Jesus had all that go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth, and if baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Not only that, but I tell you, my friend, when we look over there in the book of Galatians, I believe the third chapter, and about verse 26 beginning, he says that we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ, that neither Jew nor Greek, but bound or free, but we're free, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. You see, baptism is that same, my friend, that give us a relation with the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we stepped up a little bit farther, and I think old Simon Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 3:20 and 21, when he said, when was disobedient, was what's the long suffering of God, waited in the faith of the Lord, while in a few souls and his 8 souls were saved by water. He said that the word figure, where under baptism, you would also now save us, not to put away the fear of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection. I want you to know that it is in this order that, oh, ladies and gentlemen, that one becomes the child of God, as Jesus told the demons, except the man is born of the one in the Spirit, he cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Any one of these things that one leave out will be too rough. I want you to have that desire. Our black David had. David had one desire, and he went to fulfill that desire. He desired. He said, I seek after it. I want you to have a desire tonight that you and I are members of the church tribe, to have a desire to learn those things that you have to learn. And having learned them, be obedient to the gospel of Christ. Walk out on the practice of the commandments and doctrine of men, and let the word of God be that, therefore, that makes determination for the rest of your life. And some of these days, when it all and the trumpet got your sound in the dead right, you're going to hear him say, come up a little higher. You've been faithful on a few things. I'm going to make you move over in into the dawn of the Lord. If that wasn't your life, I would get the stand and say, yes, you're God.